I feel like we should start this episode by going, Offbeat is coming, Offbeat is coming, Offbeat is here. Welcome to episode 41. My name's Max.
I'm Danielle, as always.
So the topic of this episode actually kind of shifted as we were doing show research.
Yes.
The way that we generally plan the show is we decide ahead of time, okay, here are the next two or three topics we're going to do, and then we spend the next several weeks doing the research, and then we come together and do these recording sessions. So I found out some information about this particular artist that I had no idea about during my research. So I messaged Danielle frantically and I said, oh my gosh, we have to integrate this. So now this whole thing's kind of changed. Originally, we planned to do an episode on the act Goddess, who is someone that I have loved for many years, thanks to my friend Grant, who I think this is like the sixth time I've brought Grant up on a show. My Canadian friend Grant, he is wonderful and awesome. He is the reason I know about Goddess. And her one album from 1992. And
let's point out, she was also mentioned, and that's when I first heard of her and heard it during our Falco episode.
Because
it always goes back to Falco.
We'll get there in a moment. But we found out that Goddess was actually in a group that I didn't know about. So we're going to talk about that group, and we're going to talk about the Goddess stuff, plus one other little weird thing that she did after the Goddess project. But anyway, let's look first at who Goddess is. Her real name, by the way, I think this is the first time I've ever come across somebody whose real name was cooler than their stage name. Because, like, Goddess is a cool name. Mm-hmm. But it's not as cool as fucking Elvira Valentine.
Yes.
That is an amazing name.
I actually found, in Dutch, it wasn't exactly Valentine. It was like Valentin. It's spelled a little differently, but when she became
Dude, do you have no English-speaking friends?
It's fantastic.
Where she needed an Anglophone in her life to go, Elvira, you really need... This is an amazing name. You need to be Elvira Valentine.
Yes.
Like, I really think that could have changed the course of her career if she'd been Elvira Valentine instead of Goddess. Just saying. So Elvira Valentine was born in the Netherlands on January the 28th of 1962.
The year of our Lord, 1962. Yes,
that's correct. So I guess by the time she was probably, I mean, she had to be a kid, 16, 17, 18, she became a backing vocalist for Falco.
Yay.
Our good friend Falco, because I'm certain that she was on the Bolin & Bolin produced album Wienerblut. Was that the first album that they did with Falco?
No, I think Falco 3.
Falco 3
Rock Me Amadeus is Bolin & Bolin. So I wonder...
There's no way. She would have been too young to be on Rock Me Amadeus.
I mean, that was 1986.
She would have been 14.
Wait, I thought you said it's 24.
Oh, yeah, you're 24. You're right.
I was like, wait a minute.
No, wait. I'm mathing it correctly.
I wonder...
So she could have been there for that album.
I actually meant to look up if she was the one who did like the baby, baby, do you rock me?
Entirely possible.
But I don't know.
The voice is right. It's the right quality. So yeah. It didn't even occur to me. Maybe that is Ms. Goddess. Ms. Elvira. Who knows? So anyway, she's a backing vocalist for Falco. But around 1987, she joins up with another lady whose real name was Ingrid Simmons, but who would later go on to perform under the name BB Queen, which is amazing. Like, these ladies had their shit together. Can we just say that? These ladies, they had it together, other than her picking a stage name that was not as cool as her real name. But they had their shit together. Like, they form a group called Say When. Mm-hmm. And this is what we found out about during this episode. I'd never heard of Say When, somehow, in all my years of loving Goddess. But we're going to talk about Say When, because they only released a few singles. This first one I'm so stoked to talk about. It's called Save Me. And you had never heard any of these before, right? Okay, yeah, I hadn't either.
You were just sending me all these links last night.
I was, and I was like, oh my God, we have to talk about this. So, Say When, Save Me, I think this was their first single. This is 1987. You can find it on a bunch of Italo Disco compilations that exist in the world. But you did notice a striking similarity to another song, I hope, in listening to this.
Not that I remember.
Oh, I'm so glad. So we get to do this live. Okay.
Yay!
So, here's a clip from the Say When song, Save Me, from 1987. Oh, okay. You said oh.
Well, that chorus.
But you said oh at the wrong part.
Oh. Well, that save me is stand back, stand back. Oh,
okay. I didn't think about that. I'm thinking of a song that came out later.
Oh.
Specifically 8 years later. I think roughly 8 years later. And that line is almost a direct lift. So clearly the same people wrote these two songs and they just lifted a piece and put it into their big hit years later. I can't believe you're not clicking this. Okay, so here it is. You're going to kick yourself.
Oh, okay, so that's what...
Here it is.
Okay.
Had to be the same production team. I mean, that's not a coincidence.
Well, I was actually reading something about this, and there's not a lot of information on these songs and the groups.
No.
And the only people who listened to it were people in other countries who do not speak English.
That's also true.
I was reading something, and it was like mentioned that song, but it was in Italian. So I was like trying to figure it out.
Right.
And I couldn't tell.
Because they were Corona, like, the group that did Rhythm of the Night, was an Italian group.
Yes. So I was like trying to figure out they were mentioning,
I believe, it was either,
the singer.
Maybe they were German and the singer was Italian. Somebody was from Italy who was in Corona. Maybe the singer may have been an Italian woman. But
the
anyway,
singer,
go on.
The singer was Brazilian. And they were like...
So okay, so the producers
like
were from Italy.
Ingrid Sosa.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I think the producers are Italian.
Okay.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out. I was like, was she in Say When or
no?
Had, like,
I think it was the same production team. I could never. I was trying to, like, I found liner notes for all this stuff, but I could never find two names that perfectly matched for the production team, because the Say When stuff is all attributed to a production team.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Most of the Rhythm of the Night releases that I found are also attributed to production teams. So it just had to be shared members and people who wrote the Say When stuff, and then they just pulled that out of their pocket for Corona years later. Say When also had a single called Boys. It's kind of this nice swing beat, New Jack Swing.
Oh yeah, totally.
Kind of thing going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I love that one.
I was really excited when I found they had a song called Boys, because I wanted it to be the same Boys that was on the Goddess album years later. But
yeah, they do have a theme.
They also do this Love Me or Leave Me. Did you listen to this one?
Yeah, it was like that Donna Summer
mix.
That's
there's
Bad
a little
Girls.
A Donna Summer or Bad Girls sample in
it's
there.
It's so Euro disco. It makes me hurt with pleasure.
And like late 80s Euro disco.
Oh,
like
my God,
1988
yeah.
Euro disco.
Oh, yeah.
They also had one other one called Qualify, but we're not going to talk about that because it was too boring to discuss.
Wow. Harsh.
So after Say When, Elvira, Miss Elvira, I just want to call her Miss Elvira. That just seems fitting.
Which is
That's the Oak Ridge Boys.
No. I know, but it's the opposite. But every time I hear Elvira, I have to sing the Oak Ridge Boys.
So Elvira and Boland and Boland, who were already working with Falco, both of these groups of people were working with Falco, team up and make this project called Goddess.
Yes.
And they release one album under this Goddess moniker in 1992 that is called The Sexual Album.
And it's very aptly titled because there's a lot of sexuality.
Yes, the whole thing was just sex. It was a record of sex, about sex, all about sex.
Mm-hmm.
The lead single is called Sexual. It is a goddamn brilliant song. I don't think I've ever heard another song quite like Sexual. The production on it is just so tight and perfect and wonderful.
To me, like, this sounds everything I love about late 80s Falco with that Boland Boland stuff, like on the Wienerblut album and the Sound of Music album. It's like the same thing.
Yes.
And it worked in 1987, 1988, and it worked in 1992.
Right.
It's like that same production, that same kind of song.
Somehow, though, Boland Boland did grow their sound into the 90s.
Yeah.
Because there's enough of a difference. Like, Wienerblut sounds very 80s to me,
mm-hmm.
but this sounds very 90s to me. This does not sound like the 80s.
Yeah, I give you that.
It's very, like, into the 90s. They incorporated the guitars and everything, and it just works. It just works for the 90s.
I love it. Also, I will have to point out that it's got, like, that, you know, thing from, like, the Rock Me Amadeus cuts. It's like, we have to talk about history and the thing. Like, you know, you have to have that talking thing.
Yes.
Can I point out Norman Bates and his mother?
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Sexual. Also, Michael Jackson and Bubbles is my favorite because
yeah, in the beginning of the song, they Bolin and Bolin kind of list out all of these different pairs of people who, at one point in time, she turned to him and spoke these unforgettable words, which were "Let's get sexual." Yes.
Michael Jackson and Bubbles were hilarious because I just remember being like 7 years old in 1992, and everyone had a Bubbles joke.
And I loved George and Barbara, you know, throwing out the geriatric president and first lady at the time.
And Diana and Prince Charles, which, yeah, like, I 100% guarantee she never turned to him and said, "Let's get sexual."
Never.
That never happened.
Nope. The follow-up single to Sexual was called In My Bed. This is oddly, I think, one of my least favorite on the album.
I think so, too.
Weird choice for a second single when there were so many better options, as we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
I love the more talking, though, we get with the answering machine. It's so good.
I actually wrote it, "If you'd like to leave a message, you gorgeous young thing." Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Call the police.
Yeah,
oh.
Really.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
I can't come to the phone right now. Man's gotta sleep sometime. But if you would like to leave a message, you gorgeous young thing, please leave your name and number after the beep.
Boys is another great track on this record that should have been a single. Like, this was a no-brainer. This should have been a single.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is really catchy and also ridiculous.
Yes.
But it's a great little song, and I totally
Black, white, yellow ones, sweet, small, sexy ones. I mean, that's brilliant songwriting.
Yeah, put that on my...
Goddess, Miss Elvira's just singing about all the different kind of boys she's into.
That'll be my epitaph on my grave one day. Yes.
Black, white, yellow ones, sweet, small, sexy ones.
Yes.
I love it. This next one's only funny because of her Dutch accent saying the word lingerie.
I don't know if it's an accent thing or just like...
Have you ever heard this word pronounced that way by anyone else?
No, I just wonder if it's like...
She says lingerie.
It's like lingerie.
Lingerie.
Like, yeah, I don't know if it's like if it's like, okay, well, we in Europe and the French pronounce it, you know, this way, but we know that the English pronounce it differently. Do you know which way they pronounce it? How they do these vowels? And they were like, oh, I'm pretty sure it's lingerie. And I'm like, oh,
I just, I love that Bolin and Bolin, I'm sure, just had all these production ideas and they were just like, what can we throw together here? And then they just went back and wrote sexy lyrics for all of this stuff. I have to imagine that's how this album was put together. I can't imagine that they started with the lyrics to Lingerie and went from there. Like, it started with the songs and then they came back and plugged lyrics into this stuff.
Oh, yeah. It can't be the lyrics first. No way.
Baby, let's play. And one more we want to talk about, which of all the disappointments to not be a single, this should have been a goddamn single. It's Cleopatra, which starts with this very beautiful, stereotypical, like, Egyptian horn kind of sound, but, like, it's synthesized. It's very strange, and it's just, it's, like, romanticizing Cleopatra, and she's singing a song in character with Cleopatra. Oh, my God. Just everything is so on the mark about this song.
It's another historical song about women whispering to their love slaves.
Yes, the love slaves. I just, like, literally my notes for this song just say, fuck yes. Like, what else can you say about this song? It's so awesome.
I just wrote in all caps, "Tonight I'm yours. We'll play erotic little games."
That's right.
God.
Damn it, Elvira.
In the days of ancient Egypt, there lived Cleopatra, the most powerful and erotic woman ever to have graced the face of the earth. She was divine, insatiable. And every night she would whisper this to her love slaves. "Tonight I'm yours. We'll play erotic little games. You'll beg for more. Cleopatra is my name."
So that was the one album we get. I mean, the whole thing's worth listening to. There are other songs here and there that are worth listening to on the record.
There's it's like a really fun front-to-back album.
It really is, and especially, I imagine, if you were going to get nasty, this would be a good one to throw on there.
Yeah, it couldn't be bad.
I would maybe skip over the slow jam. That could come up at a bad time. She does have some unreleased material that was either pre this album. I think it was between the Say When stuff and this album that we're not going to play these clips now, but we'll throw them up on our website in the playlist for this. But two called If You're Serious and Going Out. So thanks, Grant, for posting about those. That's how I knew about them. So those will be on our website, which is offbeattrackscast.com to listen to.
Yes. Queen.
So she would release three more singles under this Goddess moniker. I guess one we could talk about and throw in a clip of would be the Get Loud Racism Beat It. I just kind of note this as down-tempo wokeness. I don't really know what to put it. Like, she was clearly going...
Euro dance wokeness.
She was kind of going for a more 90s R&B sound, yeah. I think, with this one. Wanted to be socially conscious.
It's like that very, like, 1993 kind of... Remember when everyone was like, "Come together," and...
Yes.
"And then we gotta love each other, even though we are different colors." Like, it's that
right.
Very...
You mean the whole reason that identity politics exists now?
Yes.
Yes.
It's very representative of that moment.
I completely agree.
And you can say whatever you want about it.
She did release two more singles under the Goddess name that they're not even worth playing a clip of because it's just such weird, generic mid-90s Euro house. There was one called Tap Dancer, I Want to See You Move, and another one called Spirits in the Night. We'll throw these clips in the playlist also if you want to listen to them, but it's just, you know.
My thing on Tap Dancer.
You've heard 90s Euro dance music.
It's all the same. My thing with Tap Dancer, though, doesn't this sound like it would be a fantastic DDR song?
Yes.
Not a great tap dancing song,
yes.
But DDR song.
Yes, you're right.
100%.
So Elvira, after leaving the Goddess Project, we have to talk about one last little musical project she had that she did with a group called Club Risqué. Did you listen to this?
Oh, yes, I did.
And their only single, Beethoven Was Black. I loved this.
Here's the thing. I've been trying.
I loved this.
I didn't listen to it till this morning, but it was like, I've heard this song. And I knew most of the lyrics. And I'm trying to figure out how I know it. And I don't know. Like, it's killing me. Because I'm like, I heard the song. And I was like, why is this on here? And then...
You don't know the lyrics or the melody?
Like, all of it. I've heard this song before multiple times.
It's sampling Beethoven's Fifth, of course. It's
basis for the song. I mean, like, I knew the lyrics to this. And I'm trying to figure out how I heard it. Somehow I know it. I heard it a long time ago, and I used to listen to it, and I have no idea why or when, but somehow this is in my brain, and it's going to kill me for the next forever to figure out how.
Well, I hope you figure it out. We'll have to post an update if you figure it out.
How the hell do I know Beethoven was black?
Beethoven was black, and you know that. Ain't no doubt about it that every time this brother made a jam, it was all that. From the classics to hip-hop, and if he was around today, his name would be at the top of everybody's chart or list to show who's number one and having everybody humming the jam. Beethoven would be Beethoven Mac, and he'd probably have dreads because my man was black.
So we hope you enjoyed our little tribute there to the unfortunately late Miss Elvira Valentine. She passed away. I've seen different sources say that she died in 2002, and I've seen some say that she died in 2011. So I'm not sure which is true. I believe it was 2002.
Yeah.
But she, yes, Miss Elvira is no longer with us. But thankfully, we have this amazing Goddess album that she did with Bolin Bolin. If you ever find this CD, pick it up. Look for it on Discogs, wherever. Just get a copy of this. It's very, very hard to find. Not all of the songs from it are available on social media, on YouTube, wherever you go looking for this stuff. So find this CD. Buy it on eBay. Just get it wherever you have to get it. Get this CD.
Like, I didn't know it until we talked about it with Falco when you were like, oh, yeah, I got it. And I was like, who the hell is that? Because I'm just telling you, I love it. And I love that whole sexual album front to back.
It's brilliant. And I thank you once again to Grant for introducing me to Goddess all of those years ago.
Yes.
I've been a fan ever since. I got so lucky. I happened to be in a used music store in Louisville here, and Goddess was just sitting on the shelf, and it was not long after Grant had introduced me to her, and there it was, and I still have my little copy floating around here. So get your own copy of the Goddess record. It's worth picking up.
Oh yeah,
if you can find it. And I don't think it's ever been released digitally or anywhere else.
Yeah, it's really hard to find,
so grab it if you find it. Hit us up on our website, which is offbeattrackscast.com.
And we are also on Twitter at offbeattracks.
Yes. Next week, we're going to be talking about a former cheerleader who does dance pop music that is not Paula Abdul.
Wow. So many of them.
Yes. Until then, I'm Max.
I'm Danielle.
See you.